Welcome into Coast to Coast, ladies and gentlemen. Season 2. We are here.
Woo! Yeah.
We are here. My name is Trey Bettler.
And I am Xander Kobold.
What a way to start season 2. You can get your name wrong.
I got my name right. You know, it's just a one-year transition. Just took 1 year.
I love it. Well, if you don't know who we are, once again, my name is Trey Bettler. I am a sophomore here at Missouri. I am a theater and journalism double major. And Xander, you want to introduce yourself? Well, actually, yeah, introduce yourself, and then we can talk about what we did this summer.
Yeah, I'm Xander Kobold. I'm from San Diego, California. I'm also a sophomore here doing sports journalism as my major. So I'm currently in the right spot for to continue that major right here radio station.
Hey, exactly. Yeah, no. What I didn't mention is I am from North Carolina, so that's where you get the title from. I'm from the East Coast. Xander's from the West Coast, so we're going coast to coast as we talk about all things sports, especially about Xander and my shared hate for the Chicago Cubs.
Yes, sir. Cubbusters, baby.
Exactly. But, yeah, wanted to just introduce ourselves again. Typically, last semester, we were on around 7 o'clock in the morning for, was it 7 to 9?
Yeah, yeah, correct. So 7 to 9.
last semester, we finished up in May with, baseball. The draft had happened already. I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, it's been a crazy sports summer. And Xander, you want to just give us a little recap of what you did this summer?
Yeah, so I went back down to California. Absolutely beautiful. Love it. People can hate me here for it, but they're just missing out, man. And
nice.
Yeah, nice weather, dude. It's definitely better weather than what we're dealing with right now. I mean, 60% humidity.
Oh, I know.
Just...
Dude, I've been to LA one time, okay, and I understand what you mean. It's nice. The weather's not bad.
Absolutely. You got the beaches down there, and West Coast beaches may be a little different from East Coast beaches, but
just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I mean, when I went down to LA that one time, I drove out to San Diego, had to go to the beach. That was like one thing. I was like, okay, I have to jump in the ocean just to say I jumped in the ocean in California.
Exactly. So, yeah. But yeah, went down, you know, went to a lot of Padres games. That was basically most of my summer.
That's not a bad summer right there.
Yeah, I mean, sitting down at one of the best stadiums in baseball. I mean, you can't ask for much at that point. And then I did an internship down there for a indoor soccer team called the San Diego Soccers.
Nice.
And not only that, but apparently they're joined partnership with the G League team of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Oh, nice.
So now I'm going to get to see Kobe Brown play in Oceanside, California.
Attaboy. So, yeah, well, that sounds like a great summer. Obviously, a lot of good stuff for you there. For me, I stayed here in Columbia, but I worked a lot, and now I am the Saturday morning 6 a.m. sports anchor for KOMU8. So if you want to actually see my face instead of just hearing my voice talking about all things Chiefs, Mizzou, St. Louis Blues, Cardinals, Royals, KC Current, St. Louis City, Sporting KC, any of our local teams here, even high school, tune in Saturday morning, 6 a.m. to KOMU 8 News. But that was the summer. This is now. Today's first day of class here at Mizzou.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm a little tired. I'm not gonna lie. I am a little tired just with, you know, getting back into the swing of things and trying to do everything. However, we do want to slow it down real quick just before we get into sports and everything. There was a shooting at a Buffalo Wild Wings on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Xander,
correct,
and I and our good buddy Aiden were at the location when it happened. It was very scary. Luckily, we all were safe, but I think the only reason I'm bringing this up is because I feel like with having a platform to be able to speak out to other people, I just wanted to say that all of my prayers are for the families. There was one man shot. He is not dead, so that was great. All prayers were answered. He survived. So just prayers out to the family, and then also everybody in attendance. Because it was a crazy night.
It's truly shocking, and it's something that, you know, it's hard to get off your chest. I mean, those kind of stories is, you know, people don't want to talk about that much. It is traumatizing, and it's nice to know we all made it out fine. We're okay, and we are still here. And we are still going to be spending the next hour with you talking about sports. And
entire semester long.
So, you know.
That's great.
It's great to be here.
It is.
It's great to be here.
It really is. But anyway, we're going to get into what I consider the biggest thing that happened for the this summer, and that would be the Olympics. The 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris happened this past summer.
Oh, did it? No, I wasn't paying attention. I was too busy watching baseball.
Yeah. Hey, they're going to add that in to the 2028. It's going to be.
I saw
it
in Los Angeles.
Back, man.
I'll be there.
That you will. Hey, I'll be there too. Hopefully, so I'm right there with you. No, we had a heck of an Olympics. This past summer, with the U.S. dominating.
Pretty usual. I mean, it seems to be the norm for.
Hey, they tied with China for most gold medals, but if you want just all around medals in general, the U.S. takes that by a large margin. They had a total of 126 medals. China had 91, so they tied with 40 gold medals each. I think the biggest thing from the Olympics. I mean, there was a few big stories. I think that came away from it. I think the biggest. Three, if I had to pick, and if you disagree, let me know, because I want to hear your perspective of this too. So this is my thought. It is Simone Biles coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Triple gold comeback. Mm-hmm. Like, after her mental health absence
in 2020.
From 2020 Olympics, to come back here, rep the GOAT chain.
Oh, yeah.
Be absolutely phenomenal. In all of her events, and win three golds. Like, so she had three golds, one silver, four medals total. So, I mean, hey, that's how you do it right there, man. That is how you do it. So that's the number one. Number two, I would say Katie Ledecky and her four medals in swimming. Two golds, one silver. And one bronze. I'll take it.
I mean, yeah, I'll take it.
I'll take it.
She's literally the Michael Phelps of the women's swim team there. So,
yes.
I will say, out of all the events I love watching, swimming has always been number one.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, it is truly, truly incredible to watch if you haven't watched it before, especially in the Olympics. And I mean, every race is always so close, especially the end. So you're sitting on the edge of your seat like, oh, here he comes. Here comes the wall. He comes in the freestyle. And it's like bang, bang, you know.
Yeah.
So it's fun watching.
I think that. And then the only other one, it's kind of funny because it's like I have two, but I don't know which one is the one to do. The first one is Noah Lyles. And his 100 meter,
dude, yeah, he won by like 0.005 seconds,
like
or something like that.
His head out just by a lean. And if not that one, then it was the women's 4x100 with Sha'Carri Richardson just blasting by and taunting her opponent as she runs by them.
Yeah,
like that is like peak performance in track. Like, I don't watch track.
No, me neither.
Ever. And so
this
I was like,
time.
Okay, I'm actually going to watch it because I know the people who are racing
right now.
I actually know who they are. So it's like, okay, these are just not nobodies for me. So I was like, okay, I'm going to actually see how good we are. Boy, is our women's 4x100 team really good?
They were absolutely fantastic. And sometimes you also got to remember how young some of these ladies are, especially on the track team,
yeah.
Or any of the people. And you know, I've seen a bunch of memes on the internet, and it's just like me as a 19-year-old college student sitting down on the couch, literally watching college students win gold medals. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's something, you know, I wouldn't, you know, never. You know, see.
Oh, yeah.
That was something you wouldn't really see.
Do you agree with that list? Do you have a different one?
I will agree.
Okay.
But this year, well, I mean, of course, basketball.
Okay. I like that a lot. Basketball was awesome. Steph Curry had a heck of an Olympics run.
Run, yeah.
Xander, we got to talk about breakdancing for a second.
Oh, yeah, breakdancing?
How about Raygun from Australia? So the funny part is apparently there's like a whole thing about this where like she basically cheated her way in.
I heard about this.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
How do you
like
cheat your way into
breakdancing? So apparently, from what I've been able to pick up, that her husband is her coach for breakdancing, so he does it as well.
Okay.
She's a professor of breakdancing, so she teaches breakdancing.
Okay.
Okay. Her husband was a judge in the tournament to decide who goes to the Olympics. So her husband was a judge, and two of her closest friends were judges.
Ooh.
And I'm like, hold on, wait a second.
Wait, what?
You can't have family as a judge here. They'll automatically approve you because they want you to go on and do well. So
picking favorites.
I'm like, come on. I don't know about that one. I don't think that one's the right call there. But I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting story.
It's one of those stories where it's like, okay, you can believe it if you want. Do I have factual evidence that that is a fact? No, I have not found it yet, but I wanted to bring it up because I thought that was absolutely hilarious. It was a very funny narrative for this whole entire situation. So I was like, you know what? We're just going to do that.
For breakdancing, too. I know. I mean, the one sport that's so random in the Olympics. I mean,
All right. We'll move on because we got a lot to get to in a small amount of time. Next up, one thing that happened, NBA Finals happened over the summer. Celtics took the title.
Not happy with that outcome.
I know.
Most NBA fans aren't happy with the outcome.
I was happy that Tatum got a ring. That was about it. I like Jaylen Brown, so...
I get it.
That dude's a beast. But apart from that, I mean, it's kind of hard for me to cheer for the Celtics when I'm a Cavs fan.
Yeah, exactly.
So... You know, I mean, I have mixed feelings about it. NBA draft happened. Nothing real. Zach Edey went to the Grizzlies. And then two Frenchmen were picked in, like, the first three picks. It was not a great draft class this year.
Should I bring up Bronny? Should we quickly touch on Bronny?
We should. Because
I feel like we should, but if we do though, we gotta like limit ourselves from going on a big tangent. Because
I mean,
this is a conversation that could probably last like over an hour.
All right. Well, I'll give you. Okay. Here's what we'll do. I will give you my opinion on Bronny, and then I will shut
just
up.
Just
leave it
there, and then I'll give you a little bit of mine, and then we'll just move on.
Yes, like, that works for me.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So. This is how I feel about Bronny. Does he deserve to be in the league right now? No. Here's what I think. I think it was a bad decision for him to go into the league. If he makes me eat my words later this season, then so be it. Good for him.
Yep.
Glad he's playing well. However, here's my thought. You only drafted him for two reasons. One, you wanted LeBron. Two, he played well at a combine. Bronny didn't play all season. He had a seizure. He rode the bench. He never started for USC. He doesn't have a lot of experience in that. He got drafted in a class full of guys who have played for multiple years.
Right.
I understand that Bronny has played all throughout his life getting to college. However, playing one season coming off the bench, not really contributing either, let's be honest. He didn't score 20 a game. He maybe had 10 assists or something like that, but he was scoring 8 points a game.
Exactly.
So... I mean, here's my thing. I understand the draw. You get the money. You get the deals. You get to be with your dad. You're playing with the Lakers. I understand that. And I'm happy for him, and I hope he does well. However, I don't believe he's going to do well. Lakers have said he'll ride the bench. He won't go to the G League. He'll actually play.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait and see. Come October 22nd. When the Lakers play the Timberwolves, we'll see what happens that day.
Yeah. A lot of your points is exactly my kind of points, too. I mean, it just seems like... I don't want to say we saw this coming, but like I think once we heard he was going to the Combine, everything was already going... Like, there's already steps that we knew exactly what was going to happen.
Exactly.
And it played out the way we thought. I don't think he technically right now, as of what I've seen. Yeah. I don't think he belongs in the NBA.
I don't either.
He doesn't have experience. I mean, he has, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, high school and then, but just all these other guys who have made it in have been playing for years. And some of the guys who have been drafted, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like Zach Edey. I mean, dude, he's played.
How many years did he play for Purdue?
Three or four.
Right.
Like, he's played a full year of college with that team.
A lot of experience under his belt. I mean, I understand that he is talented because it is, you're right, Bronny is a very talented
individual. No, there's some
sort
of talent there. I mean, I'm not saying he's the worst player of all time.
And I know that. I understand that. I'm just saying that, you know, I felt like he could have used another year before he went into the league.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll rest on that.
We're just gonna leave it there for now.
I'm gonna wait until he actually starts playing, and then we'll see.
That'll be an interesting segment.
The only other thing that really happened around the season, we had a bunch of signings. Tatum 5-year max extension. Derek White got a 4-year extension for the Celtics. Josh Giddey went to the Bulls. Caruso left the Bulls for the Thunder. DeRozan left for the Kings. Drummond left for the Sixers. I mean, the Cavs, for me, we extended Mobley, Mitchell, and Allen, so that was great.
Right.
I think the biggest addition, some of the biggest additions of the summer would have to be Klay Thompson joining the Mavericks.
Yeah.
Westbrook joining the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Paul
George.
Yeah, Paul George, I was going to get to you.
My Clippers are so cooked. Last year was the year to do something.
I was going
to
end with that.
But hey, they have a new stadium.
Hey, look.
You got to look at the bright side of life sometimes.
Let's actually think about this for a second, okay? You re-signed James Harden on a 2-year deal.
Right.
You signed Mo Bamba. You signed Kevin Porter. You signed Derek Jones. You signed Chris Dunn. You signed Nick Batum. You lost Westbrook, Mason Plumlee, and Paul George. So,
I mean,
I don't.
It's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's not like Paul George was an MVP player with the Lakers. The Clippers.
Well, that's the thing, because Paul George was decent for a very long time. He continuously got injured, and he kind of fell off. And I'm curious to see, with him going to the Sixers, is this going to re-spark Paul George's career? Because I think we're past that point. I think he's going to be a good player to contribute, but I don't think he's going to be the star player that the Sixers actively need, is what we have seen, because they can't finish in the playoffs.
Right. He's not what he used to be with, like, the Indiana Pacers or with his big-time signing back in the day with the Thunder. I just, ever since that point, it's just been the injuries and I mean, my God, talk about injuries with the Clippers. You know, Kawhi, ever since that signing, I mean, God, he's only played like, what, two, maybe full seasons?
I think.
That man can't stay healthy, and I'm worried, but, you know, we're just going to have to see where the season goes come October 22nd.
Exactly. So, I mean, we'll be ready for that when that happens. I mean, we've definitely got some time, but, I mean, we'll see. I think one of the bigger ones, obviously, one of the bigger extensions other than the ones we've already mentioned are two of them. One, LeBron, returning on a 2-year for the Lakers. And then the other one would be Jalen Brunson with a 4-year extension with the Knicks. So, I mean, Brunson's a problem in the East. So,
yeah,
I mean,
Brunson was the biggest problem in the you know what I mean. Like,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I'm not saying he is the problem. He's not.
No, he is the problem on the court.
Yes, he is an X factor with the Knicks, and exactly. I can't wait to see what he does next year Jalen Brunson also grew up in the Illinois area.
Yeah, he did. All right, so we're going to move on from the NBA. Another thing that has been going on throughout the, our little offseason we have had between May coast to coast and now August coast to coast in a fresh year, is the WNBA. And if you have listened to the show before, you know that I myself am a huge supporter of the WNBA, and I like talking about it a lot. I talk about women's college basketball a lot, and I talk about the WNBA. Xander would know that.
Oh, yeah.
He has to deal with it every time
I talk
about it.
He's literally wearing a Caitlin Clark
jersey. I am wearing my Indiana shirt. Caitlin Clark shirt, and I have my WNBA hat with me.
If it's not apparent right now, then I don't know what is.
Exactly. But What I want to bring up is just how well Caitlin Clark has played. And I understand.
Is this even a question?
Go ahead. I want to read to you. I mean, she's having a record-breaking year. These are the accolades she has acquired from the season so far for the WNBA. She is now the WNBA single-season rookie record for assists. She has the record. Most assists by a rookie in an All-Star game history, which is 10. She was the rookie of the month for July. Single-game record for assists was with 19. She had the first triple-double by a rookie in WNBA history, the first triple-double in Indiana Fever history. She was the ninth rookie to be named to an All-Star, to be an All-Star starter. She is the only player with more than 700,000 votes for the All-Star game. She's the fastest player to reach 350 points and 150 assists to start a WNBA season, regardless of the years in the league. In her debut, she had 20 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 10 turnovers, but I think the other stats cancel that out.
Right.
And she was the number one pick. So, I mean, she's had there has been no issue. We talked about this in May that we wondered, would there be an issue in transitioning from college basketball to pros? And there has been no issue. She has picked up right where she left off with Iowa.
I mean, it's not even a question. I get that, you know, some of the Caitlin Clark haters were probably saying, she was really great with Iowa, but there's no way she can do this in a professional league. What are people even thinking? At the beginning of the year for the and here's the thing is, at the beginning of the year for the Fever, they weren't that great of a team. Like last year, right. they were just awful, mm-hmm. and reason why they got the number one pick in the WNBA draft. And now they got Caitlin Clark. It didn't start off great for them again.
No, it did not.
Because she didn't have the best team to work with. Right. But now they're actually, because of the Caitlin Clark effect, it's almost like the same thing's happening at Iowa again. I mean, I don't want to say that she carried the Iowa team.
But she was the main anchor.
She
kind of did, and that was the thing. If you looked at her matchups against South Carolina, for instance,
right.
And South Carolina from the championship, you know, I mean, they won, obviously.
Right.
Iowa did not win the title. The issue that happened was she didn't have enough help.
No,
she couldn't. She tried to do everything, and if Clark had a bad night, Iowa had a bad night.
Exactly.
The thing with South Carolina was if one girl had a bad night, if Cardoso had a bad night, well, then somebody else is going to pick it up and it's going to be fine.
Up.
So they had multiple stars. Iowa had one major star, and she made her other teammates look good to make this team seem a lot better than they were. However, I mean, I know that's kind of hard to say because they made the national title game, but still, I mean, that's how it was. However, I will say this. For the WNBA, for the playoffs, there's 8 seeds, and there are 12 teams in the entire WNBA. We have only 12 teams. One team has already clinched a spot in the playoffs.
Yep.
And we said the Fever have been terrible last year.
Right.
They are an under 500 team this year, but they are the 7th seed right now.
Got a shot.
So Clark, the way Clark has been playing, has gotten the Fever over that hump into the playoffs. Right behind them, the 8th seed, Angel Reese and Chicago Sky.
I was about to say the rivalry is still there.
Right. The only team to clinch a playoff spot right now would be my favorite WNBA team, which is the New York Liberty.
I mean, so, that's no surprise. I mean, they made it all the way last year.
We keep choking in the playoffs, though.
It's okay. Hey, it's okay.
The thing with the Liberty. We're going to get to the playoffs in a few weeks or so.
Right.
And you're going to hear me get upset because the Liberty, what they do, they play well throughout the entire playoffs.
Right.
They make it to the finals, and then they choke in the finals. And I get so upset. And it's like, this reminds me of another team. Oh, yeah, the Hurricanes. I'm an NHL fan for a team that also chokes in the playoffs.
Yeah,
so,
same thing.
You know, your Padres do it too most of the time. Look, I had to give it to you.
To be fair, it is like my one team in San Diego. So
yeah, but anyway, it is 3:29 now. We're going to send it to break. So when we get to about 3:30, we'll get back. When we come back, we're going to talk baseball, a little bit of NFL training camp, because it's still preseason. It's kind of hard to, you know, actually talk about that for now. And then we're going to talk about some Mizzou offseason stuff. Talk about the Tigers as they get ready for Murray State next week. So stick with us. Welcome back to Coast, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, my name is Troy Bettler.
And I am Xander Coble.
And this is Season 2, Episode 1 of
Coast to Coast.
Attaboy. So, we're going to get into it here a little bit. You know, we mentioned we're going to talk baseball. If we have time, we'll talk NFL. We're not too worried about it. It's only preseason. We have another week to go. And we definitely, and I can tell you all this, the week of the week one, so that first week, we're going to do basically all NFL.
It's
we'll talk previews of our two teams, of the Chiefs. We'll talk about, we'll do picks for the week, who we think is going to win each game. We're going to do that also for college football.
Right.
And we're going to talk college football at the end of today, at the end of our show, when we talk about Mizzou, and then we'll get into a little bit more of college football.
Right.
But let's jump into baseball, because it's been the talk of the town for, the summer.
It's been a great
it's been a great
three months.
Summer game. It's been fun, honestly. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. I wanted to admit this to you over text, but I wanted to wait actually until we got back here so you can so you can enjoy knowing this. I actually have watched a lot more baseball because of you, and I've enjoyed it a lot more too. So you got me back into baseball.
I'm so happy to hear that. That is literally my job. Baseball is contagious.
Well, because if you remember at the earlier last semester when we first started talking baseball, I was like, I don't really know. That's more your thing. I don't really know much about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But for me, honestly, now, I mean, hey, I'm in it. I'm fully into it. I'm watching games almost every night. I watched the Little League Classic yesterday.
Really?
I did.
Wow.
I watched Tigers-Yankees yesterday. I had to watch it. Skubal was on the mound.
Oh, yeah. Skubal wasn't. He did pretty good. It was a great game in general.
Yeah. It wasn't bad at all. So, all right. We're going to talk baseball. We'll start with the Cardinals. You got to see their last game.
I did, yesterday.
They lost to the Dodgers. Cardinals, just to check in on them, since we don't really know their records since last time we talked. Cardinals are 61-63, 32-29. I think that's 32-29 at home. They're overall 61-63. Dodgers, 73-52 on the year, 35-30 on the road. So pretty even teams at home and on the road. But
yeah.
There was a clear, if you watched the series, because you and I watched all three games, because of how Bally Sports is, we listened to the games. We didn't actually watch any of them.
No, we absolutely
you
did
got
not
to
watch
see one of them in person. I watched all of them.
Yeah.
And listened to a few of them.
Yeah.
But you could tell, based on me, and I want to know your opinion, because you got to see it in person, and I'm only talking from an outsider's perspective of just listening and hearing broadcasts and watching on TV. There was a clear-cut lack of talent between the Dodgers and the Cardinals. And, you know, the offense for the Cardinals has been absolutely terrible. What else has been terrible, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
What else has been terrible, and I mentioned this on the news this past weekend, is the Cardinals' pitching has been god-awful in the late innings.
It has. I mean, the Cardinals, they're such an interesting, I mean, they're interesting in the way that they are just completely average.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul Goldschmidt isn't getting it done anymore, batting a horrible, horrible under 230 average. Arenado, I mean, he's at least batting over mid. 250, but man, the word mid cannot even describe.
can't even describe
how Arenado's been playing. I mean, here's the situation yesterday. Alec Burleson yesterday, in the ninth inning, off Michael Kopech.
Okay.
Gets a little tapper.
Yep.
Goes down the line. Horrible throw from Austin Barnes. They challenged it to make sure that the foot was off the bag, and it was. So Burleson reaches, one out. Arenado's up. One run game. And everyone's like, here we go. One swing in the bat can end this game. Cardinals win the series. And he grounds into a game-ending double play. And it's just this Cardinals team just doesn't have the offense. Other than a few main guys, like, I mean, one guy on the team that's really surprised me throughout the whole season, Alec Burleson. I mean, I had no idea who this guy was to begin the season, but he's hit 21 home runs. He's a good power hitter for them, but he just doesn't produce. And some of their younger guys like Nolan Gorman and just a few other their guys just aren't performing. So
yeah, no. Burleson's come through well for him. Goldschmidt was really good at the start of the year, and he's kind of faded off a little bit. But you know, I mean, Cardinals are an average team right now. We'll get into where they stand in the wild card in a few minutes because they're not winning their division right now. We know that much.
They're just not.
I don't think they will. But we will get to that. But like I said, they lost. Basically, I think they got swept.
They lost a series.
Yeah, so they lost a series 2-1. Next series, they are playing the Brewers, who are on a 5-game winning streak after destroying my Guardians.
Yeah, I can't say that it's going to get easier for the Cardinals because it's not.
It's really not. And Cardinals fans, you might be in for a long few weeks as we finish up the season. Jumping over, though, to the other side, to the western side of Missouri.
Yep.
To a team who was actually playing very well.
Great baseball. Absolutely tremendous baseball.
No one thought was going to happen at the beginning of the year.
Absolutely
not. No one
at
all. I mean, you didn't think the Guardians were going to play well. We didn't think the Royals were going to play well. And look at the Royals. I mean, they're over 500. They're 69-55 on the year. And they swept the series with the Reds from this past weekend.
They dismantled them. I mean, each game was a blowout. That wasn't even close.
That is true. So, I mean, you know, game 1, 7-1, game 2, 13-1, game 3, 8-1. So, yeah, I mean, it was a blowout each time. Brady Singer, the winning pitcher for the Royals on the Sunday's game. I mean, Royals would be in the Royals. Bobby Witt Jr. is in contention for MVP.
He is.
Right now.
I just don't think he's going to win,
I don't either. I really don't either, but hey, if he continues to play well and if the Royals get into the playoffs based on his playing, I do think he will win the award. But we got a lot of baseball left to play, and
that's
the hard part to think about is that, yes, September is only, 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
If that, and but by the end of the month is when they kind of start slowing down.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, well, it seems like we're not that far away. Well, we still have a lot of games. There's like 40-something games.
We still got about 6 weeks left of baseball to play. So,
I mean, there's a long way to go still. Yep. Royals will take the mound tonight with Seth Lugo on the mound playing at home.
Another impressive pitcher.
They're at home.
Out of nowhere.
And they'll be battling the Angels, who are going to put Carson Fulmer on the mound tonight, who is 0-3 on the year with a 4.22 ERA.
I'm just gonna quickly say Royals are just gonna win that game. I don't see it.
ESPN says they'll win, but
I don't want to highly predict, but it's a good. I have a good feeling they'll win. Anyways,
the Royals should win. They're fifth ranked team in slugging percentage in the AL,
especially at home.
They love to hit the ball out of the yard, and especially when they're at home. I mean, Michael Massey has played well lately, So, I mean,
it's a good group of young guys, and with one veteran leader, Salvador Perez.
He's played great.
This guy's almost 40.
I know.
And he's still tearing the cover off the baseball every time.
He really is. Yeah, this Angels team is below 500, but you knew they were going to. They lost Shohei and they lost Trout for the year. You knew the Angels were going to suffer.
Yeah.
So, you know, Royals, Angels, 7:10 first pitch tonight. Seth Lugo on the mound for the Royals. But let's get into a little bit of wild card and little standings real quick just to think about this for a few minutes. If you want to talk wild card, the Yankees. I guess.
Yankees are currently... No, they're first place in their division right now.
Are they?
I'm pretty sure they are. You know what?
I thought the Orioles were.
Oh, see, they keep going back and forth, though. It's going to really come down to the very last month on who's really...
Yeah, Orioles are first. So the Yankees are the first wild card team in the AL. Royals are third. They're behind the Twins and Yankees. So...
They're still in.
They're right there.
Yeah.
There is only one team that has been eliminated from playoff contention, and that would be the White Sox, which, no surprise, they're 30-95, and they
about to have probably the worst record in baseball all time.
They're horrendous.
Yeah, it's
bad. However, National League, first wild card spot, Padres. Yeah, take it.
I gotta tell you, this past month has been insane. I had no idea because.
Dude, the Padres were just so average.
We were so average for like the longest part of the season until we hit the summer. And after the All-Star break, I don't know what got into them, but you have young guys like Jackson Merrill turning it up and now just absolutely leading this team to first place right now in the wild card is great. Unfortunately, we lost a series to the Rockies. Uh-huh. They always own our number for no reason. But we all have those teams, right? And those terrible teams we'll always lose to. So,
and I mean, going back to the Cardinals real quick, getting off topic of the Padres, just because I wanted to bring it up. Cardinals are sixth place right now for wild card. They are five games back.
I think they've already really dug a deep hole.
I mean, if they can win a few games here and there, but they're going
to
need
a lot has to go their way.
I mean, they need the Braves to keep losing. They need the Braves are on a two game win streak. They need the Diamondbacks to keep losing. They're on a three game losing streak right now. I will tell you, I think the biggest team that fell off after last year has to be the Rangers, obviously.
Yeah, I think the World Series hangover kind of...
Oh, it really hit them.
It hit them hard, and they're not that great a team this year.
I know. I've been watching those games for Adolis Garcia. I mean, he still plays well, but...
It's just the rest of the team isn't all that amazing. They're pitching... Which is weird because their pitching looked so good. I mean, they got guys like veterans like Kirby Yates and Robertson out of the bullpen. I mean, I thought for sure this team was still going to be up to where they were last year, but
they
went down on the decline hard.
Yeah, my guards are two games ahead of the Twins, three of the Royals for first place in the AL Central.
Hey, Twins play Padres this week, starting tonight.
Do me a favor, beat them.
Yeah, I'll try to sweep them, but it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, it's okay.
As long as
you beat them, that's all that matters. I mean, guards don't play till tomorrow, just like the Cardinals. My guards will go up against the Yankees this week. So,
good luck.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I actually wanted to bring this up because I was waiting to tell you this until we got to baseball. Guardians made a move a few minutes ago. 31 minutes ago, right?
What?
Exactly.
They made a move?
They placed Alex Cobb on the 15-day IL.
Yay, more injuries.
For a broken nail.
What?
Yeah.
A broken nail takes 15 days.
I am not kidding you. A broken nail, 15-day IL for Alex Cobb.
You guys just got him, too,
and you
right?
wonder why we get upset about our pitchers and our injuries, bro. Oh, man.
This might be another rough week for Guardians fans.
Look, man, we got the Yankees. We're in New York, too. We're at the
Yankees. Yeah, I was going to say, you already played them at your place earlier in the season, so this is at Yankee Stadium.
Look, we are at the Yankees for a three game. All right, here's the next four opponents. Actually, I'll do the next five. Ready? Guardians play at the Yankees for a three game. Home against the Rangers. Home against the Royals. Home against the Pirates. Then they go to the Royals, to the Dodgers.
Yikes.
To the White Sox.
Okay.
Tampa Bay at home. Twins at home. To St. Louis. Home against the Reds for two games. And then they close out the season with a three-game series against the Astros. It's not going to get any easier. It's not, you got to build a few
Two, three series in there in that mix that are like pretty like average,
yes,
below average teams, yes, like the Pirates, but or and the White Sox. But no,
I know
that the other ones, those are teams that are basically above 500, exactly, except the Cardinals.
Exactly. So. All right, let's move on real quick. So we can get to some other things.
Yep.
Briefly, very quickly, we will talk NFL just because I have a second. Honestly, nothing major has really happened in training camp other than I would have to say probably J.J. McCarthy being out for the year.
Yeah, that was a rough one for Vikings fans.
I think that one's the biggest news coming out of training camp and, as of now.
I was going to say also that's a pretty deep blow for David Campbell, our station manager. So
that it is. I'd say that would be the biggest news. If not that, then here are the things I would bring up. One, Commanders have officially named Jayden Daniels the starter. He has looked well. I have watched a few Commanders games, and I wanted to see how he played. He's done well. So I'm interested to see if he can transition with, you know, playing against an actual starting defensive line.
Yeah, right.
And not just third, fourth stringers trying to get on the team.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. You know, I have a problem sometimes with NFL Network and all these guys because they're like, oh my gosh, he looks so good in training camp. He's throwing against air.
Yeah.
He's not throwing anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't look good. We don't know how he looks. So, I mean,
exactly. You're not going to know till week one.
Right. And so, I mean, he looks good, apparently. I mean, from what I've seen, he can run the ball well when he takes it on a carry by himself.
Well, I should hope so. He should run the ball
well.
He
sure can fling it. I know that much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We saw it firsthand.
We really did. We saw both his running capability and his throwing
ability, which was absolutely unbelievable.
Drake May, iffy. Doesn't look great. Doesn't look terrible. They're in for a quarterback battle between him and I think it's Jacoby Brissett. I know.
Good times in New England.
Apparently Spencer Rattler's look good for the Saints.
Who would have thought?
But like, see what I'm saying though? Like our conversations here about, oh, this guy looked good.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Exactly.
You don't care.
No one's gonna care till week one.
Okay. Okay. Great.
Cool, great.
Spencer Rattler looks good. He's gonna be the third string quarterback. He's not gonna play.
Yeah.
I mean, Derek Carr is gonna start, and then they'll probably. I mean, if they bring him in second, they bring him second. But I have a good feeling they put Taysom Hill in.
He may look good, but there's still other quarterbacks that
Mac
I put
Jones
ahead of him.
Good for the Jaguars. It's
preseason.
Preseason ball, and it's Mac Jones. I mean, how good can he look?
Preseason can be a little bit of a joke, and this is where we are right now.
Look, the only thing that I am looking forward to for the preseason is two things, and these are the two things that I can always count on, and I have actually enjoyed watching for the preseason this year. One, Andy Reid plays his starters, so Pat Mahomes plays. I mean, we saw him this past weekend with the behind-the-back
pass. Yeah.
So, I mean, I enjoy watching the Chiefs games because I get to see the actual offense the Chiefs actually play.
For like one half, yeah.
It's a half. It's better than a drive.
It's better than one drive, yeah.
Two, my team is full of injuries. Deshaun Watson is supposed to play his first snaps of the preseason this weekend against Seattle. So
right.
I'm excited to watch for that.
Exactly.
Going around the league, I guess, for any of the other teams, Bo Nix has looked good. He's going to start for the Broncos.
Yep.
So we'll have to see if he can continue to play well. The Falcons benched Michael Penix after playing one game and he's not even going to play during the year, so, I mean, I don't see the logic in that. They traded for Matt Judon, though, so Matthew Judon is now
in the
Falcons.
Yep.
Other news, Chiefs expect Joe Tooney and Chris Jones back for their opener, so that's good for the Chiefs.
Good.
And Tua called out Brian Flores for his coaching style today. So
yeah, I did see that.
Yep. He basically said that Flores basically told him that he wasn't good enough to be in the league and all that, and so he suffered mentally. And now he's trying to work his way out of that and do better. Also, the Raiders named Gardner Minshew as their starter for the year, so Minshew mayhem in Vegas.
Oh, boy.
And then the Rams are being cautious about Matthew Stafford because he's a little injured in the moment.
And on my personal note, my team hasn't even scored a touchdown this preseason.
Well,
so.
your quarterback's also hurt, so we don't even know how what's happening with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him.
And then the other thing back. I'll bring up real quick is two things. One, I don't know what they're going to do for the Steelers. Russ looks terrible. Fields didn't look good yesterday.
No,
I mean,
not at all.
It's
not looking great right
it's
now.
It's not looking good for the Steelers. Secondly, Daniel Jones looks like Daniel Jones. I mean, he looks the same.
He looks the same. Good
Let's
old
see
Danny Dimes.
Daniel Jones drops back for a pass. Oh, here comes the rush. He's going to run into the end zone. Tries to avoid the sack by throwing it. Oh, and it's intercepted. Pick six, and the Giants blow up their whole franchise because they went all in on Daniel Jones.
Because they thought he'd be the next franchise QB, and he's been the exact opposite.
My prayers and condolences are out
to all Giants fans.
For Giants fans, but specifically Malik Nabers.
Yeah,
I feel bad for
the
guy.
I feel so sorry. So sorry. He deserves so much better.
He really does. All right, let's get into Mizzou football real quick because we have 4 minutes.
We do have 4 minutes. Should
anyway.
Get to that quickly.
Biggest thing about Mizzou, they hit the transfer portal hard over the year. We knew a lot of the guys had already come in before we left. I guess the only real thing to talk about would be the fact that they got they are ranked 11th in the preseason.
11th.
AP
Amazing.
Bowl. So top 15, not in the top 10 yet, but if you play really well, dominate your opponents,
you'll move
you
up.
Should get into the top
you'll
10 pretty easily.
Oh yeah.
The only other big thing I would have to say are these final three things. One, Darius Smith transfers from Georgia, out for the year. He was having a really great fall camp. Has a knee injury. He's going to miss. That's going to hurt.
That's unfortunate.
That is going to hurt.
That's unfortunate.
But, you know, you do what you got to do.
Right.
Two, Luther Burden, AP preseason All-American, first team, only Mizzou player to make the first or second team.
Yeah.
He's a beast. We've known
this.
We
know
this. He's great.
And probably going to be first-round pick in the draft next year.
Yes. Last thing. I wanted to kind of look at this. Okay, last thing, and I have it down here that we're going to look for the AP preseason team. I'm not actually going to look at the team.
Okay.
I figured we'll have just a conversation real quick.
Yep.
First thing, before we get into the rest of Mizzou, there is a college football game this weekend. So if
there
you
is.
Want to watch any football, there is some football this weekend. The big game would be Florida State at Georgia Tech in Dublin, Ireland, which makes no sense, but whatever.
Let it happen.
Yep.
It's college football. Let it happen.
But here's the thing. ESPN has given Mizzou a 37% chance to make the college football playoff with the new 12 team. I want to ask you, is the rating fair or not?
I'm sorry, repeat that question one more time. I'm kind of multitasking over here.
You're good. ESPN gave Mizzou a 37% chance.
Oh, yes, that's right.
To make the college football playoff with the new 12 team. Is that rating fair or should it be higher percentage?
Well, look at it this way. As a Mizzou fan, of course I'm going to keep saying, man, they just keep disrespecting us. It should be higher. But on a realistic college football level, that's really generous from what they're giving us, especially what happened last year. I mean, I think that it's honestly the fair ranking. I mean, and who knows? And obviously that percentage could easily go up by the time the season goes on and we go 5-0 in the first five games. It's like, okay, never mind. This is as advertised what we were hoping for Mizzou. Now their chances of making the playoffs are 100% or pretty close.
I mean,
99.9.
37 is iffy for me, but I'll take it because, you know, anyway, we got to get out of here. Mizzou Sports Daily is next. If you want to hear more about Mizzou sports, everything Mizzou, stay tuned. There's more coming up right after this. Next week, we're going to talk Mizzou football week one preview as we get ready for the year. We'll talk about what happened week three, lots more baseball. But until then, my name is Trey Bettler.
And I am Xander Kobold.
And you've been listening to Coast to Coast. We'll see you next week. I gotta get better. I'm all that I've got. For two or